The weather is dry, so the prices will be high.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, we're going to find out the grim news from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Just how bad are the nation's corn and soybean crops right now after a summer of devastating drought that is still affecting a huge swath of the country? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Our summer of sun scorched this year's corn and soybeans, and there will only be so much to go around. Bill Tierney is chief economist at the Ag Resource Company.
Who's going to go without? Is it going to be exports? Is it going to be livestock producers? Is it going to be ethanol and biofuels production?
Tierney says livestock farmers will have to cull their herds if they don't have enough feed. That'll mean more cheap meat at first, but then meat supplies will plunge. Last month, Twitter was all aflutter over reports of a coming bacon shortage. Pork producers quickly said that was a bunch of hogwash. They say there'll be plenty of pork. You'll just pay more for it. Daryl Good is an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. He says prices will creep up over the next year or so.
We'll notice that mostly at the meat counter and livestock products such as eggs and milk.
By some estimates, bacon prices will sizzle up 10%. So buy a freezer and stock up now. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
We have reached debate night number two of the presidential race. Vice President Joe Biden will face Congressman Paul Ryan in Danville, Kentucky tonight. And there's a good bet the strength or weakness of our economic recovery is going to play a starring role. Republicans have been calling it the weakest recovery in U.S. history. So for a little history lesson, let's bring in Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So how does this recovery stack up?
You know, Jeremy, I have to say, I feel like I'm being set up because fact-checking recessions and recoveries has become incredibly controversial, right? And the problem is, as in much of economics, it all depends. So, number of studies, 140 years history, 14 advanced industrial nations, by that metric, this U.S. recovery that we're having right now is pretty good.
Well, but wait a minute, Chris. I mean, the Associated Press has looked back and found that the economic growth has never been weaker post-war.
Right.
And that consumer spending has never been so bad in a recovery, and that only once has job growth been slower.
Yes, but Jeremy, the key is post-war. What about the Great Depression? That was a financial crisis. And by the way, that was not a strong rebound. And then you had a financial crisis with the downturn in the early 90s. But I think there's really a way of reconciling this. So you just don't end up saying, well, it all depends, or, you know, history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes. And here's the thing. In the U.S. context, particularly in the post-World War II era, the business cycle is really the housing cycle. And what we had here was an unprecedented bust in the housing market. And real prices, inflation-adjusted prices, declined. And in the post-World War II era, most of your recoveries, the housing market has been strong as people have said, hey, now's the time to buy. Do you know anyone is buying now? I mean, I know prices have bottomed out, but it's a weak housing market. And so that explains why it's an outlier. Just say housing, housing, housing.
But clearly the argument that Republicans and that Mitt Romney are making that somehow Washington has mishandled this recovery and that it would be better if things had been done differently at the federal level is resonating with some people.
Well, absolutely, because people feel bad and we haven't had jobs and we had this massive stimulus. But again, I think we should have done a lot more on the housing side of things. That's where the criticism should be. But both Democrats and Republicans were very reluctant to do much for housing to really help people out. So it's a bipartisan housing policy that has helped keep this recovery bad.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks as always.
Thanks a lot.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, up 0.4% in Hong Kong, 0.6% higher in Frankfurt right now. Sales of personal computers appear to be falling off a cliff thanks to all the demand for tablets and mobile devices. According to the Wall Street Journal, PC sales fell 8% last quarter. That's the steepest decline in more than a decade. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 128 points to close at 13,344.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Believe it or not, the holiday season is just around the corner, which means retailers are going to start putting up Christmas decorations and, in the case of Macy's, installing pop-up toy stores. Macy's has just announced a pilot partnership with Toys R Us and will host 24 pop-up shops within its stores for the holidays. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
So you're at Macy's getting Grandma a holiday sweater, and out of the corner of your eye, you see a flash of teal fuzz.
Hey, Barbie!
It's that talking creature Furby, one of the hottest toys of the year. And it's just down the aisle at the Toys R Us pop-up store. Like so many retailers, Macy's is looking for ways to boost traffic during the holidays. Macy's spokesperson, Jim Slezewski.
When was the last time you were in a toy store where you didn't just walk up and down the aisles and say, wow, isn't that cool?
Al Sandbar, a retail strategist with Kurt Salmon, says partnerships have to be creative.
If I get a better experience buying directly from that brand online, I'll continue to do that.
Sandbar says as long as stores help solve customers' problems, they'll be okay. That means Macy's may have to figure out how to get around shortages of the little fuzzy Furby beasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And finally, how long does it take to get your food at a fast food drive-thru? Well, it depends on where you go. According to the latest research from QSR, as in Quick Service Restaurant Magazine, Chick-fil-A takes 3 minutes and 10 seconds on average, but has a 92% order accuracy record. Burger King takes 3 minutes and 20 seconds and only gets 83% of its orders right. And Wendy's wins the contest. 2 minutes and 9 seconds is how long it takes to get your car through at Wendy's. They've got a 97% accuracy rating. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.